When filmmaker Anna Bronowski learned that fracking had reached her hometown in Australia, she decided that she'd fight back the best way she knew how by making a film. But to make the most inspiring anti-fracking propaganda film she could, she needed guidance from the experts. So she turned to unexpected collaborators, the filmmakers of North Korea. In a book called Aim High in Creation, a one-of-a-kind journey inside North Korea's propaganda machine, Ms. Bronowski shares her 21-day apprenticeship in the most secretive and isolated and perhaps most dangerous country in the world to make a film about the environment. It's from Arcade Publishing, and I'm very pleased it has brought Anna Bronowski to our show today. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Your story doesn't start in North Korea, but at a protest in Sydney, Australia. What were you protesting?
That's correct. There was a company called Dart Energy that intended to frack for gas 200 meters from where my child went to school in one of the most densely populated areas of Sydney.
It's a sort inside of, the city? Because you rarely hear about city. Fracking in a major city.
Well, it actually happens all over Texas inside cities as well, Dallas in particular. But yes, I know, we were shocked. And the thing is, I needed a new way of fighting back. Josh Fox's film Gasland had already done a brilliant job at converting people and making them aware of the cause. I wanted to reach people who had no idea what fracking was. And at the same time, quite by accident, a friend of mine gave me an unusual present, Kim Jong-il, the late dictator of North Korea's manifesto on how to make the perfect propaganda movie, which you have in front of you there, leather-bound in Pyongyang, 1987. So I thought, okay, you know, Kim Jong-il was a celebrity politician. He was like a pop icon. Billions of people were fascinated in him from Team America, from viral clips like Hulk Hogan versus Kim Jong-il. I thought if I could find something new about North Korea, that might hook people into my feature documentary, and then I could educate them about the evils of fracking.
It's a very slim volume, just 67 pages.
Oh, yes, but every word counts.
But in English. Mm. So they were aiming this at an English-speaking audience?
Well,
in hopes of what?
No, I mean, part of the DPRK's mission is not just to propagandize their citizens, but educate the world about the virtues of Juche socialism, which is the North Korean style of socialism. So Kim Jong-il originally wrote that in Korean, in less time, apparently, than it took Karl Marx to write Das Kapital, according to his hagiographers. But they also then make these books, and he wrote manifestos on everything from ballet to animal husbandry. They make them available in the hotels in Pyongyang in the hope that Westerners like me will then spread the word.
You quote a passage from the book mm-hmm. about filmmakers in capitalist societies versus film directors in socialist societies. What was the point being made there?
Well, it's quite fascinating. Kim Jong-il is saying that our system is superior because in the West, Western filmmakers are beholden to the filmmaking industrialists, whether they like it or not. So they're being censored by the capitalist incentive to make profits from your movie, whereas in the socialist system, a director is an individual and a creative artist. Now, the truth is somewhat different to that.
As you learned.
Yes, I did. It was a fascinating encounter with these people, I have to say.
Well, at that point, how much did you know about Kim Jong-il and what was going on in North Korea? There's a lot of news stories that come out.
They're all pretty much
negative.
That's right. So Kim Jong-il is widely known and in the mainstream media in the West. My knowledge was exactly the same as everyone else. My image of him was a big-haired tyrant in platform heels who liked to threaten to nuke America and was a brutal and repressive dictator. However, the other side of Kim Jong-il is not widely known at all, and that is Kim Jong-il the artist. He was passionate about Hollywood movies. He loved them. He grew up watching them. He studied everything that Elizabeth Taylor ever made. He kept 20,000 Western DVDs in a vacuum-sealed vault in Pyongyang, and he actually studied Hollywood techniques to revamp his film industry. So he was kind of like the bastard child of Spielberg and Leni Riefenstahl.
But they didn't necessarily let all of those films didn't make them available to the people of North Korea.
Well, that's right. So
he liked James Cameron.
Oh, loves James Cameron. I mean, there are...
But doesn't like Stanley Kubrick.
Well, interestingly enough, Kubrick deals with themes of incarceration and insanity. So, yes, no. But funnily enough, there are Western movies that North Koreans have seen and absolutely adore. And I could count them on probably two hands. They are films like Bend It Like Beckham, James Cameron's Avatar and Titanic, Star Wars, The Godfather, The Patriot, Sound of Music is a massive hit over there, which is appropriate because North Korea is a little bit like an outdoor 50s musical in a way. And there's a classification system. So the filmmakers that I met were the elite. They lived in Pyongyang and they actually studied Western movies to learn what techniques we were using so they could use them themselves.
But you can't just go to North Korea. You have to get a special visa, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, there are many ways of getting into North Korea. It's little known that anyone can go as a tourist, even yourself, and that they are very organized and controlled tours.
And they let anyone in?
Well,
anyone
correct.
Who applies?
I mean, if it's expensive. But yes, you can go as a tourist, and you're fine as long as you don't hand out Bibles, which they don't. Like. Most journalists...
Or take posters off the wall.
Yes, that was an interesting story. I know, that was fascinating. Most journalists find the process of trying to get a proper media visa, where you go in with the full acceptance of the regime, as too cumbersome. It takes about 2 years to do. So a lot of journalists will go in as tourists or academics and sneak what footage they can. I didn't want that. I wanted total access. I wanted to see things that journalists didn't normally see. So it took me 2 years. I convinced the regime that I was genuinely fascinated in their propaganda films, and I was, and that was genuine. And so they said, sure. And they gave me more access than I ever expected. I filmed several films being made. I met all the top filmmakers in Pyongyang. They took me twice outside of the city, and I ended up myself starring in one of their movies as an evil American playing a cameo, and they sacked me because I was too wooden in my acting. I think I was nervous. They had my passport.
But actually, it was kind of a bumpy road. Kim Jong-il died a year after you applied for the visa, so mm-hmm. that complicated matters. And didn't you interview defectors from North Korea before you
absolutely.
Went there?
Absolutely. Thank you for pointing that out. So the reason...
Including that Japanese couple who had been kidnapped.
I didn't get to the couple themselves. Shin San-ok and Choi Yun-hee you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I did get to his agent. Ms. Choi was not very well. But I'm glad you've pointed that out, because one of the reasons I wrote the book, Aim High in Creation, was to cover all of the material that I wasn't allowed to put in my film, Aim High in Creation. If I had put this material where I interviewed defectors in Seoul, which I did in the film, then the North Korean filmmakers that I interviewed in the film, I could have jeopardized their safety. So I deliberately left that material out. And when I came back from Pyongyang the second time, I thought, oh my goodness, I've got to write a book. There's all this stuff that I haven't been able to share with the outside world.
My guest is Anna Bronowski, and her book, Aim High in Creation, obviously a slogan from North Korea, subtitled A One-of-a-Kind Journey Inside North Korea's Propaganda Machine. Aim High in Creation, but within a very constrained society.
Yeah, Aim High in Creation is Kim Jong-il's, it's the title of his second chapter in his manifesto on how to make films.
How did you explain your project to him, to them?
To them.
Because I would think that going against fracking is something that they really wouldn't understand.
Well, exactly. They didn't even know what fracking was. So what I did was, North Koreans do not have access to the outside internet. They have an intranet, but I couldn't communicate with them by email. So I kind of acted as an analog Skype mechanism. I would bring videos of my Australian cast and Australian farmers who were suffering the damage of fracking. Their children were getting ill. And I would take in short videos to Pyongyang, and I'd show my North Korean mentors, look, this is what fracking is doing in our country. And it was a way also, by stealth, of showing them positive images of the West, not just negative ones to do with fracking, but beautiful images of Sydney. And they would sit there and they'd watch these Apple Mac laptops, and they'd never seen a laptop. I had to teach them how to press the space bar so they could make it play. And it was a fascinating kind of cultural bridge building moment, which is exactly why I did this. They would look at it and they were actually in a neat reversal of what we normally are told to believe of the North Koreans, which is they're repressed and brainwashed. They would look at me in horror and say, how is it that your leaders in the West could do something as brutal to their people as frack their land? We don't understand it. So that actually got them very passionate about my cause, and I was incredibly touched by the sincerity with which they devoted themselves to then helping me try and make a film to stop it.
Did you see this as less problematic than just going to somebody like Josh Fox and saying, or some other very effective documentarians, right now documentaries are among the best films being made in the West, and asking them how to approach the story?
Well, look, I've made several feature documentaries myself. I didn't need advice from other Western documentary filmmakers.
So what were you hoping to learn here? Did you want to make propaganda or a truthful film?
I mean, to be very honest, originally the project of making a Kim Jong-il-style film within a film was a Trojan horse. It was my way of getting inside the industry and showing the world something the world never sees. The only stories we get about North Korea are starvation gulags and the evil Kims. I wanted to point my lens somewhere different. I wanted to find out, one, how propaganda works, and two, what are the dreams and the hopes and the beliefs of these filmmakers and the North Korean people. But once I went there and they devoted themselves to trying to teach me how to make a powerful North Korean-style propaganda film against fracking, I did find myself learning from them, but I also realized that the meta message of my film is that filmmakers, no matter where they live, what ideology they live under, are family. And that's what I wanted to share with the world, that next time you watch Fox News, realize that the truth is somewhere between Fox and what the North Koreans say, which is also ridiculous propaganda, and know that these people are decent people who love their kids and just want to get through the day. They're like us.
Now, we don't get to see North Korean films, but you did.
I did.
Do they all have messages?
Yes, they do, and they're an acquired taste. There's something very nostalgic about them. They're shot on celluloid, so there's something very beautiful and dreamlike about them. Interestingly enough, you're right, the messages are very narrow. They are either, we live in the greatest society on earth, North Korea is the greatest socialist country on earth, or the Kims are the greatest leaders on earth. I mean, if you had to boil down the messages, that's what they are. But the genres are very diverse, and this was fascinating to me. Kim Jong-il, because of his love of Western movies, he brought to North Korea a whole lot of Hollywood tropes. So he made a North Korean Godzilla. He made a North Korean Titanic. He made rom-coms. There was a director I made who made a film called Two Families of Hung Dong, which is a Woody Allen-esque satire about keeping up with the Joneses. And it's got this obligatory propaganda speech, but it's actually a comedy. It's about husbands and wives and greed and ambition and status. So there were many different genres, and that was quite fascinating to me. And I would encourage your listeners to look up a film called Pulgasari, which is North Korea's Godzilla movie. It was made in 1985. It is available in full on YouTube, and it's a fascinating film.
Has all of this continued under Kim Jong-un?
Okay, so that's a very, very good question. I have stayed in touch only through handwritten letters with my North Korean filmmaking mentors, because I cannot reach them any other way, and they would probably get in trouble if they tried to reach me. I know that when I was there, Kim Jong-un had only been in power for 6 months, and the North Korean film industry was alive and well. Contrary to what other people who've been there have said, for example, Shane Smith in Vice Guide to Films, North Korean Film Madness, he went to the Pyongyang Film Studios, spent 2 hours there, and concluded, and was widely watched, that North Korea is not making films, it's just a facade. I can say quite differently to that, yes, they are. I don't know if it's going to continue with the same fervor under Kim 3, because Kim 3, as you know, is more into sports and Dennis Rodman.
Recently, a Russian filmmaker went to North Korea, and he had to shoot with two separate memory chips so that he could actually prevent his film from being censored.
Mm.
How much control did they have over you and where you could shoot?
Yeah, so they gave me more access than I was expecting, but at the same time they were very exacting about what I could shoot when it came to filming pictures of the deer leader. You cannot crop it, you have to film it front on and preferably from a low angle. And I tell you what, if I hadn't, I could have been sent on the early plane back
to China.
That's
to make him look taller?
It's all sorts of things. I mean, yes, probably, but you know, they are the image of the leader is held with the same high regard as perhaps the image of Muhammad. You know, these are more spiritual leaders. It's almost a religion. However, you know, yes, I had to sit down with the customs officers. I had to show them my footage before I left the country. They had my passport, so I knew I had to cooperate. And originally they were very cross with me. I said, why? And they said, because we can't read your footage. It's the wrong codec. And I realized that North Korea didn't have QuickTime 10. So I gave their computer geeks QuickTime 10 and they thought that all their Christmases had come at once. Once they'd seen my footage, they were pretty relaxed about it except for three things. One, I had shot too many soldiers outside in Pyongyang. I said, what can you do? You know, there are soldiers everywhere. They said, fine. Two, my North Korean mentor, Park Song-soo, had spoken too positively about The Godfather and other Western films and filmmakers. And I said, well, you know, that was his opinion. They said, yeah, fine. And the third thing I was really worried about, they singled out the North Korean Meryl Streep, an interview I'd done with her, where she was reciting the slogans that North Korean actors have to learn. Our leader is the greatest on earth. And she was giggling. And I thought, this is really funny because what she's saying is she's embarrassed. And they said, look at this. And I said, oh, no, they're going to make me cut this. And they said, your radio mic wire is obscuring the deer leader's face on her lapel.
The film Aim High in Creation premiered at the Melbourne International Film Festival. The book is Aim High in Creation, published by Arcade. Thank you so much, Anna Bronowski, for being on our show.